material gain and loss. Nor is he very much anxious or disciple. Does not lament. Similarly, if he does not get what he desires, he is not distressed. He is transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious, inauspicious, and sinful activities. He is prepared to accept all kinds of risks for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is an impediment in the discharge of his devotional service. Such a devotee is very dear to Krishna. Chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Sri Krishna personally is describing the supreme path of bhakti. The ultimate perfection of life is to become dear to Krishna, to please Krishna. And we can judge our success only through this process, how much we are pleasing Krishna. And Krishna, in very simple and wonderful words, describes how to please him. Savai pung sang varo dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoy kavi aprati hata yajatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings one to unconditional, unmotivated devotion to the Supreme Lord. Bhakti is the process of awakening the pure desire of the heart to live for the satisfaction of Krishna. The root source of all misery and entanglement in this world is that we want to be the enjoyer. But constitutionally, this is not our natural position. We are not this body. This body is destined to grow old, to get diseased, and to die. And this cannot be avoided. At the best, it can be postponed. But actually, according to our destiny, whatever arrangements we make in our life, due to our previous activities, so much happiness and so much distress will come upon us. And a devotee in any situation of life understands that happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, success and failure, gain and loss, these are all temporary manifestations coming from our previous karmas. And they will come. And sure as they have come, they will also go. So a devotee, one who is in knowledge, fixes the consciousness on that which is permanent, that which is eternal. And there is only one thing that is permanent, and that is our relationship with God, with Krishna. And therefore, whatever may come or whatever may not come, we are not concerned. We are concerned with pleasing Krishna, the eternal occupation of every spirit, soul, or jivatma. And this is the very subject of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was profession a warrior. He was a military man. And it was duty of his to protect justice at any cost. Whatever may be, Hare Krishna. गिरिराज महाराज की जय, श्रीधर महाराज की जय, सेंट्स को मार्चिंग इन। हरे कृष्ण। In the service of the Lord means to uphold dharma. Krishna explains in Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samasta panaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He descends into this world to protect his devotees, to re-establish the principles of religion, and to annihilate the irreligious. And devotees of the Lord, they are in this world with the focus in their life to assist Krishna in his mission. A prominence of adharma. It was Krishna's will that this battle takes place on the field of Kurukshetra. And standing between the two armies, Arjuna became confused. Should I fight or should I not fight? He could see that there was much to lose whatever he decided, and there was also much to gain whatever he decided. So he was confused about his duty. And Krishna explained to him that do not be attached to success or failure. Do not be attached to victory or defeat. Because whether you are victorious, if you are not in spiritual consciousness, if you are not in devotion to me, even in your victory, you will be miserable. Even if you succeed, you will be miserable. And today, oftentimes, people who do not have proper knowledge, they will do anything to be victorious. They will do anything to succeed. But they do not know that the temporary appearance of what they may gain will never give them happiness. But rather, they will have to suffer for all of the irreligious activities that has brought about their success, their victory, their pleasure. So a man of knowledge, Srila Prabhupada explained, is Shreyas. And a man of ignorance practices Prayas. Prayas is like an animal. An animal is very, very much concerned with the immediate pleasures of the mind and senses, and will do anything to achieve it. But human life, which is Shreyas, is to look ahead, to look not only in the future of this life, but in the future of all our lives to come. What will be the result of what we say? What will be the result of what we do? This is knowledge. This is one who is sincere in the path of dharma. Arjuna was instructed by Krishna simply to be attached to pleasing me, to serving my will. And this will give the real glory of true peace. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati. One who understands that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything, and he is the dearmost loving friend of everyone, such a person achieves real peace. Because such a person, as explains in this verse, He neither rejoices nor grieves. He laments nor desires. He renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things of this world. His concern, his consciousness is always in bhakti, in serving the Lord, in pleasing the Lord, in purifying his or her consciousness. Human life is meant to purify our consciousness, to make it clean, like pure water, which is transparent, in which we can experience the all-beautiful presence of Krishna within our hearts. The residents of Vrindavan, they are the topmost examples of simply becoming attached to Krishna. They were living in a very simple cowherd community. Their wealth was their cows and the gifts that the cow gave, butter, yogurt, ghee, milk, like that. And even the greatest devatas or the demigods in heaven, even Lakshmi Devi herself, the goddess of fortune, performed great penance just to get entrance into the simple village of Vrindavan. Why Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune? The wealth of Vaikuntha is billions, trillions, unlimitedly times more glorious and wonderful than any wealth of this world. Hare Krishna. Why she wanted to give up even that? She renounced Vaikuntha to perform tapasya to gain entrance into Vrindavan. The reason is because the beauty of Krishna and the love between the devotee and Krishna is the supreme opulence. It is the supreme wealth. It is the ultimate goal of all existence. And we find the devotee like Sudama Vipra. At one time he was very poor, living very simple in a hut. He was actually not even able to get proper food. He was almost starving. And his family was in the same situation. But they were very happy. Sudama Vipra was always in transcendental ecstasy, just remembering his dear beloved Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. But his wife, being a noble and chaste assistant, was thinking that my husband should have better than this. So she requested him again and again and again, please, Krishna is your friend. Go to him. Ask him for some basic necessities of life. He will be happy to give it to you. But his heart was so pure that he did not want to ask Krishna for anything. A devotee's prayer is, how can I serve you, my Lord? Srila Prabhupada asked us to chant this prayer throughout the day. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. We should always be chanting the name of the Lord. And what is the prayer that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada has given to the world? Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas taught us what is the meditation in which we should chant this prayer. My dear Lord, O Hare Sri Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in serving you eternally with unmotivated loving devotion. That is the prayer of the Maha Mantra. That is the goal of those devotees who properly understand how to chant the Maha Mantra. Not, my Lord, give me this and give me that, but Lord, give me your loving service. What can I give you of my life? That is the real pleasure and search of my soul. So Sudama Vipra was such a person. But still, a Vaishnava has a body, has a mind, and has a soul. And when we want to serve Vaishnavas, we want to give the best to their body, give the best to their mind, give the best to their soul. When the devotees would come to Jagannath Puri to meet with Lord Chaitanya, he would greet them with garlands and sandalwood and give them beautiful, wonderful smiles and embraces. In this way, he completely satisfied their minds. They were so happy, so encouraged to feel such affection and love from him. And then he would personally arrange for nice accommodations, simple but very nice accommodations, so everyone had proper room, everyone had proper place for taking bath. In this way, he was serving their bodies. He would arrange beautiful, delicious prasad from Jagannath Temple to nourish their bodies. And then he would bring them all together and they would have Krishna Katha and have wonderful, wonderful kirtan of chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely satisfied his devotees, their body, their minds, and their souls. This is real seva. Because the body is the property of the Lord being used in the service of a Vaishnava. And to serve such a person's body is actually facilitating and helping him in his service to the Lord. And even the conditioned souls, those fallen souls who are suffering in this world, we want to help them to become spiritually uplifted. And Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to distribute prasad, which nourishes the body and the soul. He wanted, even in Mayapur, to give children clothes. Even in Bombay, he asked one man, give all these poor people clothes. Yes? Children in the temple. And at the same time, by kindness, we give satisfaction to their mind. And ultimately, when they become attracted, then they will take to the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and their souls will be liberated. So Sudama Vipra, he was thinking, for me, I need nothing. His wife was thinking, for him, let him be comfortable. And he was thinking, for my wife, let her be comfortable. But both of them were detached from their own comforts. They were only attached to service. So he went to Dwarka. And when he went there, he went with a little bag. It was not even a bag. It was just tied in a piece of cloth, some chipped rice, which was procured by begging. And usually when you beg, people do not give you the best thing. They give you the worst thing in the house, we have seen. What they don't need, that's what they give you. Haribo. Hare Krishna. So when he came to Dwarka, Krishna was living in such a palace. It was his principal palace, the palace of Rukmini. That palace, even Indra, the king of heaven, could not compete with the luxury, the opulence, the wealth, the beauty of this residence. And Sudama Vipra, wearing torn cloth clothes, very thin. He came in. He didn't at all fit in the scenery. All of the maids of the servants, they were all so luxuriously dressed, so beautiful, Krishna's palace. And yet Krishna sat him down on his own throne, bedstead, and Krishna washed his feet. And Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, was fanning him with a chamara. And the ladies of the palace were wondering, how is this poor beggar, Brahman, Krishna, who is the supreme god, who is manifesting the greatest opulence, is worshipping him, washing his feet, placing that water on his head, offering him the aarti and serving him in such humble devotion and love. Sudama could have asked Krishna for anything, but he did not ask him for anything, only to be the servant of the servant of his servants. That is all he desired. Krishna says to Sudama, because Krishna is all-pervading, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows what is within everyone's heart. You can somehow or other fool people of this world, but you can never fool the Paramatma, the Lord, seated in your heart. And your spiritual advancement is determined by how honestly we approach that Lord within the heart, who is the witness of all. And when we approach him with honesty and sincerity and devotion, he becomes pleased. So Krishna said to Sudama, what gift have you brought me? And Sudama, looking around at all the luxuries and the wonderful, wonderful, sumptuous feast that Krishna just fed him with his own hands, he was thinking, how can I give Krishna this broken up, chipped rice, which is hardly the food for a beggar? And Krishna knew exactly where it was, and he took it. And he opened it, and he took those broken kernels of rice and ate. And Rukmini stopped him. That is enough. Just by taking one morsel of his devotion can satisfy the entire universe. So after talking throughout the night, very intimately, lovingly, Sudama Vipra left that place in the morning. Krishna embraced him. And as he was walking home, he was thinking how wonderful it was to be with Krishna. How merciful, how kind. Although I am the poorest of the poor, I have nothing. Still, he worshipped me. He showed so much affection and love for me. How kind, how merciful. What kind of Lord is this Krishna? Who could ever give up his remembrance and his loving service? But then he was thinking, but I never asked for anything. What will my wife say when I return home? That is the natural thought. But anyway, I made Krishna happy. So when he returned to his home, he was very much confused because he went the right direction. And right where the home was in the past, there was a magnificent palatial building with gold and marble, no bricks or steel. It was all gold and marble and jewels and beautiful lawns with wonderful birds, like auspicious birds, and wonderful fruit-bearing trees, and lakes with swans, and flowers blooming everywhere, and all sorts of very, very auspicious people walking with beautiful smiles, very happily. And he was thinking, where am I? And at that time, his wife came out, dressed in luxurious wardrobe. And she was smiling very much. And when she saw Sudama, tears began to flow from her eyes, and she was not able to speak even a single word. And when Sudama saw her, tears started to flow from his eyes, and he could not speak a word. They were both utterly choked up in love and devotion to Krishna. They were speechless in their gratitude for Krishna's mercy. They were not attached to the clothes. They were not attached to the gardens and the jewels. They were not attached to the beautiful building and all the heavenly maidservants. They were only attached that Krishna is so kind, what he does to please his devotee. And then silently, with tears flowing from their eyes, with their hearts beating in ecstatic love and choked voices, they silently walked into their home. And when he saw the beauty of that home, all he could think of is the mercy of Krishna, the love of Krishna. And it is explained that Sudama lived the rest of his life in that most beautiful, auspicious abode with his wife. And at the end of his life, he went directly back home, back to Godhead, the spiritual world, to enjoy eternal loving service with Lord Krishna. But it is explained by Srila Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavat that Sudama Vipra, his consciousness was exactly the same, whether he was starving, living in that little hut, or whether he was surrounded by heavenly servants living in the most palatial building, even greater than the residences of the demigods of the heavens. He was indifferent to whether he was in poverty or wealth because he was experiencing something so much deeper, so much higher, so much ecstatic. He was experiencing bhakti, devotion to Lord Krishna, which is the supreme ultimate wealth. If one has bhakti, one is a rich man. If one does not have bhakti, one is in inner poverty. It is described in Bhagavat that Sudama Vipra, whatever he had, he was in a spirit of complete renunciation and simply utilized everything in the service of the Lord, everything for the pleasure of the Lord. And therefore, he never became entangled. This is the secret of real happiness. Whatever situation of life we are in, if we learn the art of bhakti, we never become entangled in the complexities of the laws of karma. Krishna says that work done in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, that very work is the means of our liberation, the ultimate liberation. But work done without remembrance of the service of the Lord simply creates bondage. Bondage in the vicious cycle of karmic action and reaction. So, Lord Krishna spoke these wonderful teachings of the art of living in Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in the most practical way how, even living within this age of Kali Yuga, even living within the Grihastha ashram, the Brahmachari ashram, the Vanaprast or Sannyas ashram? He said it makes little difference. The main principle, in order to achieve the perfection and essence of religion, is to live in Krishna's service. And how is that possible? Lord Chaitanya made it very simple. Regularly associate with honest and genuine devotees of the Lord. Regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in their company. Live a pure life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And most important, regularly take the supreme medicine which can cure all the inner diseases of life, the medicine of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
By living by these simple and beautiful principles, the inner love of our heart is awakened. The ecstasy of our soul becomes manifest within our consciousness and within our lives. And then, with whatever we are, whatever we have, we can utilize our lives as an expression of that love of God, for the greatest benefit to ourselves and to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada brought this message to the world. Cleanse your hearts by this satsang of Vaishnavas through the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Everyone is looking for happiness, and we make so many arrangements to try happiness. Everyone is struggling, striving, utilizing so much valuable energy to seek happiness. But Srila Prabhupada gave us the key to real happiness. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Awaken your original consciousness. The holy name of Krishna is like a key that opens the most precious treasure chest of your heart. And when the treasure chest of your heart is opened, we find the unlimited, infinite treasure of Krishna Prema, love of God. And when tasting the sweetness of the fruit of that love, then we neither rejoice or grieve, lament or desire anything of this world. Gita explains, just like the ocean, it is so full in itself that whether the rivers during the rainy season flow in with great force or whether they trickle in during the dry season, drop by drop, the ocean is unaffected because it is so full in itself. The holy name of Krishna, the satsang of devotees, and the living of a pure Krishna conscious life gives us entrance by which we can dive into the unlimited ocean of pleasure and happiness which is within our own hearts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? That means not to be attached to the apparent manifestations of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness in this world. Just like, for instance, an astrologer may tell you that today is an auspicious day, or tomorrow is an inauspicious day. But a devotee is not concerned whether it's an auspicious day or inauspicious day by karmic conditions. Why? Because he knows that when we chant the name of the Lord and engage in the service of the Lord, Krishna is all auspicious. His service is all auspicious. His name is all auspicious. It is above the auspicious and inauspicious manifestations of this mortal world. In the path of bhakti, renunciation doesn't mean simply giving something up. The path of bhakti means to accept something higher. And when we accept that higher thing, then all lower ideas become insignificant. We are not concerned with them. Srila Prabhupada said, you may have a $1 problem, a $10 problem, a $50 problem, $100 problems, and as long as you're on that level, it's a great struggle to solve these problems. But if you have $1,000,000, then you're not concerned with $1, $10, $50, $100, $30 problems. Krishna consciousness is that $1,000,000. When you have that, all the other problems in this world, we become detached from them. As a matter of duty, especially in the Grihastha ashram, we do the best we can to solve these problems. It is our duty. But like a lotus flower, it might be in a muddy place, but it is unaffected because of the depth of the attachment to Krishna, the all-beautiful reservoir of all pleasure. Yes.